So we're beginning a new chapter in the Art of Chanting, chapter 11. It's called The Meaning of the Hare Krishna Mantra, because we'll just start. 500 years ago, the great Vallabhacharya is very prominent in this part of the country because Maharashtra is very near Gujarat. In Gujarat, a majority of the Vaishnavas there are actually followers of the Vallabha Sampradaya, Vallabhacharya. His actual name is Vallabhabhatta Acharya, but he's been reduced to Vallabhacharya. He's Vallabhabhatta. He hails originally from South India, I believe. But his Sampradaya, his son, Vitalnath, and Gopesh and Gopi, had different sons, three or four sons. They became the gurus. But the most significant thing about Vallabhacharya, of course, he met Lord Chaitanya 500 years ago. He was a contemporary of Lord Chaitanya. And he wrote very wonderful commentaries. He was a great scholar and a great pundit, worshipper of... He actually worshipped Radha and Krishna himself, but many of the followers of Vallabha, they worship Gopal. But he wrote very wonderful commentaries on the Srimad Bhagavatam, Vallabhacharya's commentaries on the verses of the Bhagavatam, especially 10th canto. They're very rasic and very sweet and intimate revelations of the pastimes of Krishna in the 10th canto and throughout the Bhagavatam. So they, as Vallabhacharya's followers, his son, he became in charge of the Gopal Nathji deity, the deity who manifested little more than 500 years ago in Govardhan. And that Prakat Stali is there in Aniyur, in the back of the village of Aniyur, right next to the hill of Govardhan, Giriraj Parvat. There's a place called Gopal Prakat Stali. This is the place of manifestation where Madhavendra Puri dug in the ground and in the bushes and uncovered the beautiful deity of Sri Gopal Nathji, who now is residing in Nathdwara in Rajasthan, and being worshipped in a very lavish and glorious way by the Vallabhacharya gurus and followers. Maybe you've been there. You've been there? Anyone had darshan? Sri Nathji? I've been 4 or 5 times. I usually go every year or so. Very beautiful and powerful deity. And the deity was originally being worshipped by Madhavendra Puri, then a host of Brijvasi Brahmins that he appointed to worship them. And then the worship came into the hands of the Gaudiya Sampradaya. Raghunath Das Goswami and Jiva Goswami were supervising the worship, but they were too much involved with their writing and bhajan, and they were very good friends. Of course, in those days, 500 years ago, there was a great camaraderie, and great friendship amongst different sampradayas. But as I said, this is the age of fighting, quarreling, division, and animosity. So if one sampradaya or one group cannot tolerate another group. So if you're a Vallabha follower, you can't tolerate the Gaudiyas. But in those days, 500 years ago, the devotees would meet together, Vallabhacharya and his followers, and Jiva Goswami and his followers, they would all meet together in Sevakunj, in Vrindavan, and Radha Damodar Temple, Baladevi Vibhushan, all this whole group of devotees, they're all good friends. And they're all worshipping the same Krishna and the same Radha, but from different, some slightly different angle, viewpoint. But they had this unity, this harmony. And they would meet together and discuss Shastra and relish Harikatha together. But nowadays there's so much, oh, I'm a Nimbarki. Oh, you're a Gaudiya. I'm Nimbarki, you're Gaudiya. I'm Nimbark Sampradaya, you're Gaudiya, get out. Or I'm Gaudiya, you're Nimbark. There's very much division these days due to the play of Kali, the dance of Kali, Kali Yuga. But when the Gaudiyas were worshipping Sri Nathji in Jatipur, the village of Jatipur, which is named, Yati means sannyasi. Jatipur means the village of the sannyasi, because that's where Madhavendra Puri, he was a sannyasi, he lived there for some time. And that village is named after him, Jatipur. And that's one of the headquarters of the Vallabhas in Govardhan. I think Vittal's samadhi or Pushpa samadhi is there in Jatipur. So they were doing the worship, and they gave the worship to Vittal. Jiva Goswami gave the worship of Nathji to Vittal. Vittalnath, I think it's Vittalnath. And then there was some threat of Muslims attacking the deity. So then for safekeeping, then Vallabhacharya's son, Vittal, he moved the deity to Gantoli Gram, which is near Govardhan. And then from there, finally, the deity went to Natwara and been there ever since. So this Vallabhacharya, they're very much worshippers of Govardhan. Govardhan Nath and Giriraj in general, you'll see, because I lived there so many years at Govardhan. And you see regularly the acharyas, the gurus, they're all grihasthas. But the acharyas and that sampradaya, they regularly do dandavat prikama. Dandavat prikama, lying down flat of the Govardhan hill. Sometimes with hundreds of their followers. And it's a very ritualistic way they do the prikama. It's very a lot of grandeur, especially when the acharya is doing, he has his bundi, he's all dressed Brahmin, and then he has his chelas. They will sweep the Govardhan, the prikamarg. They will sweep in front of him, and there's six or eight ladies, because usually they're quite stout and strong, quite healthy, these acharyas, so they get quite hot and sweated up. There's six or eight ladies, very cultured, wealthy Gujarati ladies with chamara fans, fanning him. And then behind him, there's a bicycle rickshaw with big coolers of scented water, rose-scented water, flavored water, and different maybe snacks or whatever. And then all these fanning, and then so many people sweep the road in front of him. Then he this is the acharya, and then he pays his dandavats. And behind him, there's hundreds and hundreds of very wealthy and cultured Brahmins and their wives and other followers of the Vallabha Sampradaya doing the Dandavat Prikama of Govardhan. It's quite a colorful scene to see the way. Generally, people just go and lie down. But they sweep all the dirt off the path, and all these people are fanning him as he stands there. And it's quite impressive. They have great regard and great devotion for Govardhan. So this Vallabhacharya, he was in Jagannath Puri. And he met Lord Chaitanya on several different occasions. He also met him in Benares at his house. He had a house in Benares. So he asked a question, and he repeatedly asked Lord Chaitanya, he said, "Can you please explain to me the meaning? Can you explain to me the meaning of Krishna's name? What does this name, Krishna, what does it mean? I see all the time you're chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. But what does this mantra, what does this name mean?" So at that time, Lord Chaitanya was sitting amongst all of his intimate followers, Nittai, Gadadhar, Advaita, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Surup Damodar, Rai Ramananda, Rupa Goswami, and Shiki Mahiti. Mahaprabhu was quiet, he was silent. He didn't immediately reply to the question, although the question was repeatedly asked by Vallabhacharya. Mahaprabhu, he was saying, because it's interesting, in the Vallabhacharya Sampradaya, they call Vallabhacharya Mahaprabhu. They call him Mahaprabhu. And we have our Mahaprabhu. And when you go to Radhakund or Shamakund, many places like this actually, especially at Shamakund, there's a place called Mahaprabhu Baitak. Mahaprabhu Baitak. Baitak? Baitak means sitting place. And there's one Mahaprabhu Baitak, and 20 meters further, there's a second Mahaprabhu Baitak. The first Mahaprabhu Baitak, big sign Mahaprabhu Baitak, that's Lord Chaitanya, the sitting place of our Mahaprabhu. And 20 yards further, there's the Vallabhacharyas, the sitting place of their Mahaprabhu. So it's very interesting. They have their Mahaprabhu, and we have our Mahaprabhu. So all these great devotees were there, but Lord Chaitanya was failing to reply. And finally, Mahaprabhu said, "Krishna namera bahu arta na mani. Sham Sundar Yashoda Nandan A Matra Jani." Vishwambhara said, Lord Chaitanya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, when he was, they asked, "What is the meaning of Hare Krishna? What is the meaning of Krishna's name?" "I do not know the meaning of Krishna's name. I only know that Krishna is Yashoda Nandan and Sham Sundar. I don't know any other meanings." So this is a very brief explanation. So this is a point. What is this answer telling? The answer is telling, Mahaprabhu is telling, that Krishna's name is Braj, Vrindavan. Shamasundar is Vrindavan. Yashodanandan is Vrindavan. There's no indication of Mathura here. There's no indication of Dwarka. Of course, Krishna's in Mathura. Krishna's in Dwarka. But Shamasundar, he said, Krishna's, what does Krishna's name mean? You could say Krishna's name means the husband. Krishna's name means Dwarkadish, the husband of Rukmini, Rukmininath, from Dwarka, or Mathuranath. He said, no, this is, means this. So, this is a quote. Well, this is some, there's some discussion here. Success in japa depends on conception and consciousness. One must hold the right conception. He must hold the right conception or meaning of the mantra in the mind while chanting. And one's consciousness must be filled with surrender. It's called Sharanagati Bhav. Regarding this point, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains in Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita, by chanting the name while understanding its meaning and praying to Krishna with tears in the eyes, gradually, by Krishna's mercy, our chanting of the holy name will advance. If this method is not followed, it will take many lifetimes to reach perfection. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he gives us a lot of credit. As he's saying that you have to do three things when you chant Hare Krishna. You have to chant the holy name. Actually, you can say four things. Four things have to go on while you're chanting. One thing is you have to chant the holy name. Second thing is you have to hear the holy name. Third thing is you have to understand the meaning of the holy name. And the fourth thing is you have to pray to Krishna with tears in the eyes. You have to be, now in other words, you have to be a good juggler. You know, a juggler? You take this thing and you go, tut, 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 throw three or four things, five, six, seven, ton, 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 ton. You have to, so he's giving us a lot of credit that we can do all these things. We can hear, we can chant the holy name, and we can hear it, and we can pray to the Lord, and we can meditate on the meaning all at the same time. That's not difficult. You ever see any housewife? Indian housewife? Have you ever seen? She has a small television in the kitchen. She's watching a soap opera, cooking a sabji, right? Talking on the telephone. And she's got one ear out for her baby in the bedroom in case the baby's crying. So one ear for the baby, maybe in the bedroom in difficulty, watching the TV, talking on the phone and stirring the sabji in the karai. Four things at once, right? Standard Indian housewife. Four completely different activities going on simultaneously. So if the Indian housewife can do that, like in Braj, you see the classic example in Braj. Lady has three water pots on her head, three teen kumbha, kumbha, right? Kumbha. Three water pots full of water, maybe 30 kilos of water on her head. On the left hip, she has one baby, right? And under her arm, she has a baby under her arm, and under this, she has a baby on her hip, on her left hip. On this side, she's carrying a bunch of grass that she chopped to feed the cows. So that's under her arm. And then her hand, she has a rope, and the end of the rope is a goat. So she's walking down a footpath, holding a goat in one hand, holding her baby on her hip in another hand, balancing 35 kilos of water on her head, and holding some grass to feed her cow under the arm. I've seen it. I said, wow, look at these yogis. This is a standard Braj Gopi. Really, really interfacing with the reality. Networking. She's really networking. So if that gopi can do that, then you can pray and meditate on the meaning and hear and chant at the same time. Not difficult. So the method of chanting the holy name involves deliberating on the meaning of the syllables along with sincerely crying for the Lord. So this principle, of course, someone may say, well, I was always told When I came to the temple, when I asked about this, how to chant Hare Krishna, everyone told me, just chant and hear. Chant Hare Krishna and hear the name. That's all. What more? Many people, they tell like this. But the founder of this movement, Srila Prabhupada, he, right from the beginning, in so many places, he says, what is the meaning of the Hare Krishna mantra? What is the meaning? Does anyone know what the meaning of the Hare Krishna mantra is, according to Srila Prabhupada? Because we ourselves, as jivatmas, we are called tatastha shakti. There's antaranga shakti, surup shakti, Krishna and his parishads. Surup shakti, antaranga. Then there's tatastha. Tatastha is the jivas. Nityabhara jivas and nityamukta jivas. They're tatastha. Then there's bahiranga shakti. Bahiranga shakti is this external energy, maya shakti, material world. So we're in a tata. Tata means not... No, tata indica. Not tata cars or tata sea salt or tata. Beep your horn, pass on the right. Tata means border. The border, the boundary. So we're in the jiva, the living entity, conditioned souls, nitya bandha. Conditioned souls are in the border. We're covered by external energy. This Maya Shakti is covering us, but within us is the Jiva Shakti, which is transcendental. Jivatma. The Atma is transcendental, but we're embedded in this material energy, Bahiranga Shakti. So this Tatastha Shakti, we are Shakti, we are energy. So we as Shakti, we are petitioning, we are praying to Shakti, Supreme Form of Shakti. Supreme Form of Shakti is known as Sarva Shakti Mayi, the reservoir or the totality of all Shakti is known as Radharani, Sarva Shakti Mayi. So Radharani is Swarup Shakti, so we're in this border region and we want to move into the Antaranga region. We want to leave the border and leave all the association and contact with the Bahiranga Shakti, with the Maya Shakti. We want to enter the Yoga Maya, the spiritual world. So we are Shakti petitioning Shakti. Because the Shakti, all the energies of Krishna are engaged favorably and lovingly in his direct service in the spiritual world by the arrangement of Yogamaya. Yogamaya is that energy which overriding energy which engages all of Krishna's subsequent spiritual energies in his favorable service. So Yoga Maya is arranging for that. She's arranging for all the connection. Yoga means connection, linking, joining. She's arranging for all the connection, all the shaktis, all the energies of the spiritual world. They're all connected and joined with Krishna in loving service. His friends, his servants, his mother, his father, his sakis, his lovers. So this is Yoga Maya is doing this. So we're praying, Oh Mother Hara, Oh Hare. Hare means Hara. Hara means Shakti. Sometimes Parvati is called Hara. What is Parvati? Parvati is Shakti. Prakriti. Linga and Yoni. Shiva and Parvati. Purush and Prakriti. So the Supreme Hara, who is actually the source of Parvati, Parvati's source is Radharani. The Supreme Hara, the Supreme Feminine Energy, the Supreme Prakriti is called Daivi Prakriti. You see that in Bhagavad Gita. Right? What is that verse? Mahatmanas tumam parta daivim prakritam ashrita. Mahatmanas tumam parta daivim prakritam, Daivi Prakriti. And Daivi Prakriti means transcendental prakriti, spiritual energy. So Radharani is that Daivi Prakriti. So O Mother Hara, O Supreme Mother Hara, O energy not of Shiva, because Hara is also the energy of Shiva. Parvati or Durga is the energy of Shiva, and she's also called Hara. But when you're calling vocative, it's called vocative case, then Hara becomes Hare. Just like, for example, if some lady's name is Radha, say her name is Radha or Lalita. If I'm calling her, I won't say Lalita, I'll say Lalite. At least in Sanskrit, this is proper. We'll say, Lalite, Lalite, hey Lalite, Lalite. Radhe, we say Radhe. This is called vakata. Vakata means vocal, calling. It's a calling tense. So Hara, O Mother Hara, O energy of the Lord, Krishna, Hare, Radharani, please engage me. I'm petitioning you, I'm begging you, because I am also Shakti. You are Shakti, I am also Shakti. I am Tatastha Shakti, you are Sarup Shakti. I'm begging you to please engage me as Shakti in the service of the Shaktiman. To engage me in the service of the Supreme Purusha, Purushottam. Purushottam. Purushottam means the Uttam, the Uta. Uttam Purush, the topmost Purush. Shiva is also Purush. Brahma is also Purush. Surya is also Purush, but not Purushottam. Purushottam Sri Krishna. Lila Purushottam Sri Krishna. Maryada Purushottam. Who? Lord Ram. And Prem Purushottam Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we're begging, O Mother Hara, O Hare, O Mother Hara, O Supreme Pleasure Potency. You are the Ladini Shakti. You're the Sarup Shakti, the Ladini Shakti, the personal internal energy of the Lord. Ladini, pleasure potency, bliss, love, ecstasy, and joy. Halad, Halad, Pralad, Haladini, Haladini Shakti. Please engage me in the service of Krishna. Radharaman, Krishna. Right? This is the... So Prabhupada said, this is the meaning of the Maha Mantra. So this is the meaning, and then what is the mood? There's called meaning and mood, right? It's almost like you can say the bhavana and the bhav. Bhavana, bhavana means idea, bhavana. And bhav means the mood, the feeling. So the meaning is this. And what is the feeling? What is the mood of the chanting? And Prabhupada gave that also. So Prabhupada gave a meaning. The Maha Mantra means this. So Prabhupada said, yes, chant the Maha Mantra and meditate on the meaning, because he gave the meaning. And the Acharyas like Bhaktivinoda Thakur and others are saying, when you chant, you should meditate on the meaning. And this is the meaning that Srila Prabhupada gave the members of ISKCON. Now, what is the mood? What mood should be behind that chanting? What is the mood? Just like, for example, if I call you, there's a mood in my voice. If you want to see this, you go to Vrindavan. And so many people are chanting Hari Bol, Hari Bol. Hari Bol, Hari Bol. But there's all different kinds of moods behind it. Motivation and mood. The bhav behind the chanting. For example, my name is Mr. Agarwal, and I have a cloth shop. I'm selling cloth. And two Russian ladies are on a rickshaw. They're coming down, two Russian devotees. And I see them, and they're very attractive. I say, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. Hey, come, Hari Bol, come, Hari Bol, come to my shop. Hari Bol, Prabhu, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, come and buy my dhotis. So that the mood behind this Hari Bol is, come buy my devotee, my dhotis. Now if he's just some young, lusty Indian man, there's quite a few of them, and then he sees these Russian ladies, he says, Hari Bol. Hari Bol. Where are you from? Hari Bol, Hari Bol. The same Hari Bol, the same Hari Bol, but it's filled with lust, desire, intention to catch those flowers of Russia, right? And then someone else is chanting, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. He's just crying out to the Lord, Hari Bol, same Hari Bol. So this is the bhav behind it. Words are same, but what is the bhav? What is the mood, the feeling, the desire? The bhavana and the bhav. The conception, the idea, the meaning. So, Prabhupada gave us that mood behind the chanting. What is that mood? Who knows? Prabhupada said that one should chant the holy name of the Lord like the genuine crying of a child for his mother's presence. Exactly what he said. His mother's presence. Not just crying for his mother. Because if you're a mother, anyone who's been a mother knows that there's two kinds of crying. There's genuine crying and fake crying. Nakli crying and asli crying. Right? Nakli krandan and asli krandan. You don't know the difference. What is fake crying? Fake crying means The kid goes into the kitchen. He says, "Oh, mother, I want to eat those cookies." "No, no, I told you, you have to finish your dinner. Then if you finish everything nicely, all your vegetables, then I'll give you some cookies." "I want cookies." That's fake. That's just lip deep. And just the lips. "I want the cracker. I want the cookie." There's no feeling behind that. No, there's nothing. Just nothing. But when he's in the backyard, he's in the backyard playing, and then some wild dog comes and bites him. Bites his leg and starts bleeding, and he starts crying. That's real crying. And the mother pays attention to that because her ear is tuned. The mother's ear is tuned. Is it fake? Is it real? Because he cries 100 times a day, fake. And she doesn't jump and respond every time. Like the child who cried wolf. There's some children's story. Cried wolf. So, but when the real crying is there, immediately the mother's on the spot in a second. "Oh, are you okay? Is everything all right?" So this, we're chanting, and we're just chanting, "Oh, Krishna, oh yeah, please come, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, help me, Hare Krishna. I'm really, Hare Krishna. I'm really in bed. I'm really in trouble. You should help me, Hare Krishna." So that's hardly crying. First of all, cry, then make it genuine. And what kind of crying? And it's very specific, yeah, because when a guru says something, it's very important. When Acharya, like Srila Prabhupada, says, every word is significant. Every word of Sanskrit is significant. Language is language. Language is conveying mood. Language is conveying ideas. Language is conveying so many concepts. Many things going on with language. Besides the reporting of events, there's bhav, there's mood, there's knowledge, so many things. Enlightenment, energy. So in Sanskrit, when there's a Sanskrit verse or Bengali or whatever, the acharyas, they analyze each and every word. Even they break down the word into portions, that this Sunday and that Sunday. If you break it like this and like that, it means this and that. It goes on for pages. So English is also a language. And you can also break down each word. What does this mean? And get so many, what do you say, these lines like this, brackets and whatnot, sub-brackets. You can find so many meanings. So if you just say, Prabhupada said, we should chant the holy name like a child crying for its mother. Bas. This is incomplete and doesn't give the complete picture. So every word he could have just said crying like a child for his mother, but he said genuine. Why does he make the distinction genuine? Because if you're saying genuine crying, what does that imply? That there's also fake crying. Isn't it right? Like if I tell you, when you go to the market, make sure you get genuine gold. Real gold ring. So then you say, what do you mean real gold? Well, there's a lot of fake gold in the market. Or lookalikes. Right? So language is very specific. So genuine crying. So then we have to understand what is genuine. And we have to think about that. And then he says genuine crying not for his mother, for his mother's presence. Presence means, mother, you have to come here right now. I have to see you right now. I'm in trouble. I'm in difficulty. Hey, come right now. Wherever you are, hey, I'm calling you. I'm crying. Ah, nah, nah. Crying means you come here. Give me darshan. I want to see you. I can't wait. I'm in distress. I'm suffering. I'm being tortured or whatever. I'm in danger. I'm afraid. You come here. So these are all the ramifications and nuances of meanings here in this English shloka. It's a shloka, it's a verse, it's a sutra. And the same thing, everything is like this, and we can draw so many deep meanings out of all the prayers. So this is the mood behind it. So yes, Prabhupada agrees with the acharyas. Yes, it's a fact that Srila Prabhupada agrees with the acharyas that you must meditate on the meaning of the holy name when you chant. This is the fact. And yes, Srila Prabhupada agrees with the acharyas that you must have the right mood behind your chanting, and right feeling. In Nam Bhajan, which is a book, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur tells how to become absorbed in chanting japa. So this is a problem. We're not absorbed. We rather fall asleep or become inattentive or complacent, or we have no taste, or no interest. Japa becomes boring, trite, hackneyed. No interest, or interest rises and falls, comes and goes, wanes and increases, wanes and waxes, like the moon is waning and waxing. I suppose now it's waxing. We just had Amavasya, right? So now it's called Shukla Paksha. Shukla Paksha means, Shukla means white. White, the white part. Paksha means part or group or section. It's the white time. And there's Krishna Paksha every month, right? Krishna Paksha means the period going to dark. Now the period going to light. Shukla Paksha. It's called waxing. The moon is waxing, is getting bigger, and waning is decreasing or diminishing. 15 days waning, 15 days waxing. So our chanting is sometimes waxing, sometimes waning, sometimes it's improving and increasing, sometimes decreasing and deproving or whatever. Opposite. Or what's the opposite of improving? Going down. What's the opposite of improving? Decreasing. That's the opposite of increasing. The opposite of increasing is decreasing. So what's the opposite of improving? Deteriorating. Thank you. It's a little slow. Deteriorating. Deteriorating. Deterior, exterior, interior, posterior, anterior. Deteriorating. Going down. Diminishing. Dwindling. Fading. Losing it. Hey, where'd it go? I don't know. I one day I just stopped chanting. I just went boop, out the window. Why? How? Where? When? I don't know. I just suddenly stopped. So then, oh, let's start again. Like your tire on your bicycle. You ride, and then one day you go out to get on your bicycle. All the air is out. Oh, what happened? What do you do? Oh, you don't say, oh, all the air is out of my bicycle tire. Oh, well, forget it. No, I don't go anywhere. No, you get out the bicycle pump. You screw it on the thing. You pump up your bicycle tire and you go to school or go to play or whatever. It's the same thing. If your chanting gets out of air, becomes deflated, your chanting enthusiasm becomes deflated, then you have to inflate it again. Like, come on, let's go. How do you inflate it? By reading about the holy name, reading about the Nam Mahima, the glories of the holy name. Prabhupada and BBT, I don't know if they still publish it, but one time they published a book called Sri Nam Amrita. They still publish that book? It's called Sri Nam Amrita, 650 pages book. It's not there? It's out of print. Oh, it's a really good book. It's called Sri Nam Amrita, Nectar of the Name, the beautiful name. And it was all quotations up by Srila Prabhupada, taken from Srila Prabhupada's books, called Sri Nam Amrita. So, because I know myself, back in the 70s, sometimes we'd be chanting and feel some loss of enthusiasm. So I would open that book and start reading all the different chapters about the glories, the Mahima, the glories of the holy name. I'd become so inspired. Oh yeah, this is a good thing. This chanting is a good thing. Whereas I was chanting, I was initiated, I was chanting 16 rounds, but sometimes it goes up and down. So then I would read the glories of the holy name, the benefits, the power, and all the different aspects of the holy name, the meaning. Then we get renewed enthusiasm to pump up, to inflate my japa tires. Inflate my japa tires and start driving happily and progressively. While chanting the name, Bhaktivinoda Thakura says, you should continuously remember Krishna's spiritual characteristics and also explain the meaning of the name to your mind. While recollecting the meaning and form of the name, you should pray to Krishna with a piteous cry. So oftentimes we hear this word cry. So after hearing so many times, we get the idea that some or other, I better learn the art of crying. This says the art of chanting Hare Krishna. But it depends largely on the art of crying. So maybe someone's teaching those courses here in Bombay, I don't know. They have the art of living. And of course, we're teaching the art of dying. In ISKCON, we teach the art of dying. How to die in bliss. How to die blissfully remembering Krishna. Ante Narayana Smriti. Ante Narayana Smriti, at the end, this is a sutra from Vedanta. Ante Narayana Smriti, we must remember Narayana at the end. So, we're teaching the art of dying, but maybe someone is teaching the art of crying. Right? The art of living is there, and the art of dying, so that covers that. So we have to individually learn that art. So this is a mention from the very famous book in Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya called Hari Bhakti Vilas by Srila Sanatana Goswami. He was asked personally by Lord Chaitanya to write this book, and he was empowered by Lord Chaitanya to write this book, which describes a lot of very important rituals and practices for the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. It's called Hari Bhakti Vilas. It is basically the law book for the Gaudiya Sampradaya. And he says there, Mana Samharanam Shocham Monam Mantrartha Chintanam Avyagratvam Anirvedo Japa Sampatihetava. To be attentive, purification of the heart is required. This means keeping silence and avoiding unfavorable talking. While chanting, one must affectionately remember the meaning of the mantra. Steadiness, patience, and attachment to chanting are all treasures of chanting. So he's saying mantra artha chintanam. Chintanam. Art means the value, the wealth. The wealth, the value, and in this case, the meaning. Mantra artha chintanam. So this is what we're doing when we remember the meaning of Krishna's name. So I will continue there more on this. Next section is called The Life of Nam. In other words, the holy name, it can be alive or dead. Not exactly dead, but our receptivity to it and our perception of the holy name may be somewhat covered or removed due to our improper practices. We'll find out that tomorrow.